Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Our greetings and salutations. It is certainly good to be here. How about you? Amen. Thank you, brother. I think you have had a better week this week personally, and amen. Amen, brother. And had one day that was a little bit troubling for me, but God gets us through. Amen. Amen. I had to step outside just for a minute. Had to go to the bathroom for just a second. Brenda will say, "You don't have to tell everybody everything." She's told me that before. But it reminded me of a guest speaker that we had, and how many of you remember Bobby Connor? He was visiting a place, and he, instead of staying in a hotel, he was staying in the home, and he's in the guest bedroom, and he went to the bathroom and looked in the medicine cabinets, and there were some pills in there that said for fluid, and he got to thinking. He said, I'm a pretty good sized fella. He said, I probably need to take some of them fluid pills. So he looked at it, and it was, he saw it was written for the lady, and he knew her size, and he said, I'm twice as big as she is. So instead of taking two, he took four. That was on Sunday morning. Right in the middle of his message, he said, time out. And he made a beeline to the bathroom and came back. So I tried my best not to do it during the message, so I went ahead of time. But, you know, we do a lot. There's a lot of strange things that goes around, right? We've been talking about our victory lane being God's I am, the great I am. And we want to continue that, but we're getting out of the Old Testament now, and we're going to get into the New Testament, because some people are saying, well, what about us? What about us? You told all these other things, what God did to the children of Israel. What about us? And that's a good question. What about us? Well, we're going to go to Ephesians 6, and I know Brother Ed's been teaching on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and done a good job there, but one thing I want to tell you here is that Paul wrote this book to the church in Ephesus, and he was in prison. And he is in prison in Rome, and he wanted to make sure that with what he was writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to reflect our walking with Christ. It's one thing to say, I'm a Christian. It's another thing to walk as a Christian. So our lives need to be part up, or in reality, you know, because one song we sang today is, He is my reality. Well, if He is my reality, I need to walk out that reality. Amen? And we need to understand that He was writing this thing for us to become better Christians, what it means to really be a Christian. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, and hopefully we'll get some things from this that we didn't quite know. I know for me, every time I read the Bible, it's always a joy for me to read the Bible. But when I go to study in the Bible, things begin to open up, and I am just shocked at a lot of things, amazed at a lot of things. And that's the reason it never gets old. that never gets dry. But he says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Boy, that is a powerful, powerful verse. But most of us misunderstand what Paul is saying. Most of us think, number one, that Paul is saying, on a final note, my last thing to say to you, or I've said all this other stuff, but now I have one more thing to say. And to finish up, this is what I want to say. That's not what he's saying. That's not the meaning of the word finally. The meaning of this word finally means in the time remaining. Ooh, makes a huge difference. In the time remaining. How many of you have time remaining? I'm worried about you that are not raising your hand. All of us have time remaining. So Paul is saying, in the time remaining, in the time that you have, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we walk away from that a lot of times and we think, I gotta be strong. How can I be strong? I gotta find ways to be strong, because he says be strong. That's not what it says either. That's what we make out of it. But that is the falsehood of what the enemy wants you to believe, that it's left up. Listen. It's left up to me to be strong. So now I have to work at being strong. I had somebody at a funeral one time, and he told me, he said, I've really got to be strong for them. And I said, that's God's job. He said, what do you mean? I said, he never told you to be strong. He told you that in your weakness, he'll be strong. If you want him to be seen, then you need to understand your weakness. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So we have this thing about, I've got to do this. Well, what it really means is, this word be is the same as be holy. It's passive voice in Greek, which means, here's what, y'all ready for this? Which means, an outside force is acting upon the subject. The outside force is Christ, and we are the subject. He is acting upon us to be strong. In other words, what he's saying, this word strong means empowered. How many of you want to be empowered? He says, be empowered, be strong. And he says, an outside force has already empowered you. Huge difference for me. An outside force. He, in being strong, he says, I've already done that for you. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to go by your ability. See, how many of you have ever tried to be a Christian yourself? Okay. How many of you have failed at that when you tried? So we can't do that. So he's not telling us it's left up to us. No, it's not. It's not left up to us. It's up to him. What is our part in it? Understand, he's already done it for me. He's already empowered me in the Lord, and he's already made me strong, or strength. He's given me strength in his might. This word strength, the strong means empowered. Strength means the dominion. It's his dominion. It's his authority. So he said, you need to be in his domain. He's king. He's Lord. There's no one bigger than him. No one better than him. He said, you are in his domain. You are in his kingdom. How many of you have a kingdom of your own? You know, you can walk up to your house and say, this is my kingdom. Well, guess what? That kingdom can go away at a moment's notice. So what kingdom do we really have? No, it's his kingdom. He said, I want you to understand that I've empowered you, and I've already put you in a dominion that's my authority. I've already put you in my authority. His authority. Does that matter? Absolutely. Absolutely. His authority. And it says the authority of his might. What does this might mean? His might means forceful ability. He just doesn't have the ability. He has the force to do whatever he wants. He has the forceful ability. So what he's saying here, he said, in the time remaining, you need to understand he has already empowered you. He has already put you in his dominion, and he has already given you his forceful ability. In the time remaining, you should know this. You need to operate in this. You need to understand it's already yours because it has been given to you. You do not have to work it up. So this is not accomplished by mine and your works. It's accomplished by his ability that he's already acted upon. Now, does that mean anything to you? It means a ton to me. It means a lot to me. That means I don't have to really try to work myself up to be strong or to be anything that he wants me to be. He said, I've already empowered you. I've already put you in my domain. I've already have given you the forceful ability. Whenever you call upon it, that's yours. I've already acted for you. I've given you that ability. You do that. Changes the game of being a Christian, doesn't it? Changes my game about being a Christian, about this warfare that he begins to talk about. It changes my whole game about it. Why? Because his word is telling me he's already put me in that place. So many Christians are doing everything they can to become the bee. We can't become the bee. He's already made us the bee. Yeah, you know, when he says be holy, it's the same thing. You are holy people. You are holy people. That's what the Bible says. You're a holy generation. You are a holy people. Do you know why we're a holy people? He has acted upon us to be holy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You can do it louder. Okay, that's good. No, see the thing is, I know we're trying to capture all this. But see, unless we capture this, unless we have this abiding influence of the Word of God inside us, we will always try to externally do what we need to do when internally he says, I've already put it in you to do it. He has already put you the ability to do it inside you. He has already put the ability to do it inside you. Everything that he's told you to do, he's already given you grace and the ability to go do it. Is that the truth? Yeah, that's absolutely the truth. Then he goes on, with that in mind, when we understand that one little verse, that's something he's already done, and we have to walk in it. Then he says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, does the devil have schemes? Well, number one, is there a devil? Yes. Does he have schemes? This word schemes means tricks. It means trickery. It means a falsehood of things. He's got a plan. He's got a ploy to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Take away, make us ineffective in our living, and actually do away with us. That's the plan of the enemy. So we already know that that's a reality. You know, all on the reason people say, well, you know, we don't really have warfare. And I said, well, my Bible says we do. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, this thing put on, what does that mean? It means to sink yourself into. It means to be fitted like a glove. In other words, you sink your hand into a glove, and then all of a sudden, all you see is the glove. You don't see your hand, but all you see is the glove. He says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able. Do you want to be able to stand firm against the trickery and the plans of the enemy?
Yes.
This is how you do it. But now, here's the thing about it. If you don't believe there's tricks of the enemy, you don't think there's a real enemy, and you don't think, you know, that all this, then you're already deceived into thinking, okay, everything's going to be okay, and whatever happens, it's case of ra, sera. It's supposed to happen. No, God says, you're going to have spiritual warfare. And the reason being is because you have Christ inside you. It's because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's because you're one of His. And He mistreated Christ when He was on the earth and did everything He could to destroy Him. And He'll do everything He can to destroy you and I. The enemy will. But He says, okay, put on the whole armor of God. To be, this put on also means to be fully engaged in. What is fully engaged in? I'll do this today, but not tomorrow. Or I'll be kind today, but I'm not going to be kind to this person. See, that is selective putting on. And He said, no, put on what? The full armor of God. Don't try out salvation. There's a lot of people that's tried out salvation, and they'll brag about their salvation, but they won't do nothing about their maturity. You hear what I'm talking about? You know, they'll stay a baby for the rest of their life because they haven't matured. They haven't grown in the Lord. So He tells us here that if you want to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, you got to sink into His full armor. What is His full armor? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is word and prayer. He got seven things. He lists them all right here. Now, Paul uses the analogy of a Roman soldier, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. He uses that. But see, mine and yours, you know, for a long time as a Christian, I kept looking around to try to find my breastplate of righteousness. Where's my righteousness at? I got to put it on. Where's it at? Where's it at? Where's it at? So I'm trying to look. No, really. So in reality, I'm like, well, how do I put this on? I said, no. This thing put on does not mean here is how. Be strong in the Lord. He's not saying here's how. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. He is not saying be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and here's how. Put it on. He's not saying that. What is He saying, Pastor? He said, be strong in the, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And because of, put it on. Totally different. Here's how you do it, because now I gotta work at doing it. No, He says, because of what I just told you, put this on. It's like this. Okay, put on the armor without being a Christian. You hear what I'm saying? You read about believe, an unbeliever can read that. He can put on the armor of God. Doesn't belong to him. Because it belongs to brethren. It belongs to brothers and sisters. It belongs to the church. It belongs to us. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to sinners. He's writing to church, to the church. He said, put this on. Then he goes on and says, you'll be able to stand firm. Then he goes on and says, you don't struggle against flesh and blood. So we try to, somebody does something, the next thing you know, we want to get back at them. And we talked the other week about revenge. No, you don't get back at. And you love that. Say, how can you, if you get mad, if you and I get angry, unkind, and get mad at people who sin, we will never win those people. Why? Because we're mad at them. There's no love there that's going to be able to draw them in, because we're showing that we're going to do this on our own terms. Mine and your terms are not going to see. Until the church actually captures, Christ has done this thing. We need to walk in what he's given. When we fully embrace that, we will be able to win people easier, because we don't have an agenda. It's all him. It's not left up to me. Listen, I remember being in a church, and we'd go visitation on Tuesday nights. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm ashamed of it, you know, but once again, I've been redeemed of it. I was a Christian when I went. But see, here's the thing about it. We'd go out by twos, and we'd go in to try to tell people about Jesus and everything. And listen to this. You know, we'd come back, and then it's almost like we got our spiritual guns, you know, and we'll get our gun, our spiritual gun out, and we'll get our knife out, and we'll carve a notch. And all of a sudden it becomes, who's got the most notches? Do you hear what I'm saying? Who's got the most notches? I only got five. Well, I got six. And all of a sudden it's like, who's got the most notches? That sound familiar? How many do you have coming to church? We've got 20. Praise God. Oh, we've got 200. Praise God. Oh, well, 200 is a lot better church than 20. It's bigger. Don't make it better. Do you hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden it becomes on what we have accomplished more than what he has accomplished. Okay. So we have all these spiritual, the rulers, the powers, and world forces, and have all these things that he says, this is your battle, is a spiritual battle. It's not a flesh and blood battle. Not flesh and blood. I heard a man say one time, and I've never forgot it. It was another preacher one time. He said, when you look at this sword of the Spirit, he said, when you look down at your sword of the Spirit, which is this, have you hurt people with this that caused them to bleed? Does this have flesh and blood on it? Because you've used it against the person instead of against the spiritual thing that you need to do battle with? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to steal anything from Brother Eric, but you know, Brother Eric, you know, he'll give his testimony sometime about what he was like when he first became a Christian, and he, matter of fact, people would sort of run from him. You know, but I know what that's like, because that's like Brenda telling me if you're a Christian, I don't want to be one. Well, she wouldn't tell me that. She has told me that. She told me that years and years ago. Told you that. I was outside digging and ran into a big boulder, and we had a deck. She was on the deck. I didn't know what, and I was digging a hole for something. I don't know what it was about. But anyway, my armor had done fell off. I've tried my best to put all that on. See, once again, it's an external thing. My armor done falling off, and the next thing you know, flesh has risen up. And I'm going, y'all can fill in the blanks, but don't do it. I hear this voice. If your Sunday school class could only see you now. Now, that's the truth. It really is. It's the truth. It was truth about me, and this had been years and years ago. But see, the thing is, the reality of Brenda, with this prophetic mindset that she has, it wasn't this gentle thing. Is, are you having problems, honey? Do you have a difficulty with that shovel? Can I come and help you? No, it wasn't any of that. If your Sunday school class could only see you now. I came home one night, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. Came home from church and walked in, and I had my briefcase with me, and I don't forgot what was doing. It was taking some long hours, but anyway, I did that and came home and walked into where Brenda was at, and Brenda said, listen to this. There's my little warrior. There's my little warrior. I took a deep breath, almost wanted to cry. Put my briefcase down. We hugged. I cried a little bit, you know. She was just so tender. Next night, everybody say the next night. Next night, I'm thinking first night. Said, you know, she's considering what I'm having to go through here. Next night, I get there and it's about 10 minutes later than the night before. So I walked in and I was waiting. What do you think I was waiting for? A little warrior. She looks at me and says, about time you got home. I looked at her and I said, where's the little warrior? She said, I don't know where he's at, but you're late. So you begin to see that all these things have, the enemy wants to pit us against each other. But anyway, he says, take up the full, he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Now, here's the thing about it. How do I take something up that I already have on? He told me, put this on. You have the ability to go ahead and put this on. Then he says, take up the full armor of God, that you will be able to resist the evil day. Now, it's not a plan. That's a whole day. That's a season of time that he says, I want you to be prepared for the season. So what does this thing about take up mean? Take up means it's a once and for all act. Once and for all. Not take it off, put it on, put it on, take it off, take it off, put it on, put it on. No, once and for all. It's like a military term. He said, once and for all. When you've put this on, once and for all. You've taken it up once and for all. You're not going to, or you've put it on. He said, you're not going to take it off. Don't take it off. What do I mean? Don't take off truth. Walk in truth, walk in righteousness, walk in peace, walk in faith, walk in salvation, walk in the word, walk in prayer. Which one of them you want to take off? Which one of them you want to put aside? None of them. That's the reason he says this thing about take up means once and for all. And that's what Paul is getting to us. He said, this is not an occasional thing to get suited for. Ours is internal, not external. Once and for all. He said, once and for all, he said, that you may be able to resist. This word resist is once again a passive voice, which means that he's already acting in your behalf to be able to resist the evil day. So what's the evil day look like? I don't know, but it's pretty bad. Can't tell you exactly what it's going to be like. I mean, the Bible tells us about some things that's going to happen and it's going to take place. He said, the evil day, he said, you'll be able to resist it once you understand that you've already got the armor on. It's not something you got to go, well, I need to go hunt my salvation. Somebody said one time, said, you know, I'm afraid I lost my salvation. And I heard Terry Wilson say, it'll be over to lost and found. I thought it was pretty cool. I really did. I said, I'm going to go look and see if anybody else is over there. No, you don't lose your salvation. You have your salvation. Resisting the evil day. Then he says this, having done everything, stand firm. Now, this right here, for years and years, I said, okay, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? And I said, no, I can't think of anything else I need to do. All right, now what I've got to do is stand. I'm glad it's not that way, and it isn't. This is another military term that says having done everything. You know what it means? Having conquered all. Wow, you've resisted the evil day, and having conquered all, stand to do battle again. It doesn't mean look at your list and see if there's anything that you forgot doing, and then do that. And after you've completed your list, stand firm. There's no list to complete. Military term, having conquered everything, when you resisted the evil day, guess what you did? You conquered. You overcame it. And stand firm, and once again, stand firm means to, it says, okay, get ready for the next battle. Stand for the next battle. What does that mean? Another one's on its way. I don't know when it is, but another one's on its way. That's the reason you can't afford to take it off. You got to keep it on. There's not a time when you can afford to put prayer down. There's not a time when you can afford to put salvation down. Put salvation. Well, I'm saved, but I ain't going to act saved right now because I'm mad. Well, guess what? You can't take it off and on. You can't put it off and on. He goes on and he says that you'll be able to stand up. Then he talks about all these things, about the breastplate, and the loins girded up, and your feet is prepared for peace, your walk, and the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. And it talks about from a distance. There's going to be somebody moving by Satan, moving because of the enemy, and they're going to shoot fiery darts your way, and they're not even close by. What does that mean? It means when you have the shield of faith, it's going to hit your shield. Quench, put out. It'll put out the accusations that come. Your faith will put out the accusations that come to you from the enemy. Are y'all learning anything?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. Having done everything. So what are we saying about all this, Pastor? God has a lot to say about this, but one thing you need to understand, that mine and your, listen to me now, mine and your effectiveness in spiritual warfare is no greater than the ability to align our thoughts through surrender to God. How can I be effective in my warfare? Your effectiveness in spiritual warfare is when your willingness to align your thoughts with surrender to God. Pretty simple, isn't it? So what difference does that make? It makes a lot of difference. Why is that? It depend on him. depend on Him. It's His strength, His might, His power. It's His truth. He is the truth. It's His peace. It's His. The only reason you and I are holy is because He made you and I holy with His holiness. He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. He took our sin and shame and gave us His holiness. Well, now I don't believe that. Well, then you won't walk that. Once again, line up our thoughts. So when the enemy begins to come up, what thoughts are misaligned when I become fearful? Mine and your effectiveness is our ability to be able to align our thoughts with surrender to Him. I'm going to talk to you about 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians and we'll close with this one. 2 Corinthians 10. Paul is saying, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Here he is again. He's talking about it, saying you can't war in the flesh. You walk in the flesh, but you can't war according to the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So why are we wanting to fight flesh? Because we don't have any fleshly weapons. These are no, our weapons are not, but they are divinely powerful. Being a Christian, he said, you're in a warfare, and you do not need to fight people. That's the reason. Listen. You can't win the loss by fighting people. Fight the spirits and the demonic that is influencing, but don't fight people. Okay. They're divinely powerful. What do I need? I mean, why do I need them to be from heaven? They need to be heavenly powerful. For what? The destruction of fortresses. They will destroy strongholds. A stronghold. You got a stronghold. Anybody have, I can't seem to forget. I can't seem to let this go. I can't seem to stop this. What is that? Stronghold. And he says, there's the weapons that I've given you that I told you about in Ephesians. They destroy strongholds, fortresses. Not hurt them, destroy strongholds. And they'll destroy speculations, imaginations. Well, I sort of speculate. I imagine, any of those that are not aligned up with God, they said they need to be destroyed. By the Lord's artillery, your weapons. Then he says, every lofty or exaggerated thing being raised up, being puffed up. What does that mean? It means there's a lot of things that are being puffed up and elevated. And this is what the rabbis, a lot of the rabbis, the Pharisees, I shouldn't say rabbis, the Pharisees did this about the word. They would raise up their traditions above the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the reason the word of God talks about you have made the word of God to none effect because you have elevated your tradition, what you think, how you think things needs to go. Because there's all kinds of things out there that wants to raise it up above God. He said, you'll be able to pull every one of those down. When you think about it for a moment, you begin to think, okay, what do I deal with? What has raised itself up against what God is saying? Have you ever had those thoughts that wasn't God? And all of a sudden, you sort of dwell on it a little bit, and then you sort of get down a little bit, and then you sort of feel bad, and then you get fearful, and then you have doubt. Why is that? Because it's raised itself up against the knowledge of who he is and what he said. So he says, now here's the last thing. So he says, we are taking every thought captive to the knowledge to the obedience of Christ. He said, all this tearing down, all this destroying, he said, that's what these weapons do. It destroys the very foundation of falsehood. It destroys all that. And then it says, then you take it, then you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'll spend a minute or two with this because we really need to understand, what does that mean? We know what it means to destroy the lies. We know what it means to tear down something that's a stronghold that says, okay, you can't, you can't, you can't. And he says, you can, you can, you can. What is this thing about take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Well, it all depends on one word. Captive. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to capture this thought and I'm going to find somewhere and I'm going to lock it up and I'm going to put it away. No, not that. And that's locked up and it's not free to roam. How many of you ever tried that? I lock that lie up. And all of a sudden that lie is going. Do you hear what I'm saying? The word captive, it means to, it doesn't mean to take as a prisoner of war. I got a prisoner of war. I've locked it up and I got a prisoner of war. That's not what it means. I tried that. It doesn't work. It rather means to subjugate, which means to conquer. And listen to this word. Everybody say this after I say it. Remaster. Say it again. Say it again. He said, you remaster it. What does that mean? It means you bring it, and it knee has to bow to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? That means the very lie that was headed your way or talking to you about it, once you take it to Christ's obedience, are you ready for this? It has to bend its knee and obey Christ. Simple enough, what does that mean? What was fighting against you has now become someone that, or something that is fighting for you. Why? Because it has bowed its knee and no longer telling the lie. That's the reason when we take captive, it's got to be taken captive to his obedience. And, okay, so that's the lie? All right, I'm going to take that lie and I'm going to take it to the obedience of Christ. Okay, Christ, Lord, Jesus, what is the truth? Well, here's the truth. Then I say, okay, bend your knee. If it's captured, it has to be remastered. That's what it means, to remaster. In other words, instead of the master being the devil, now the master is Christ. And it begins to say the truth, so it fights for you instead of against you. I do not know about you, but that is liberating to me. Very liberating. Because once again, I tried locking them up where they wouldn't say nothing, and they kept talking. And they kept, you know, but once again, once you bring it to the obedience of what it is, you're saying, okay, that's the lie, but here's the truth. So you bring that lie and you bring it to the obedience of Christ. It has to bow its knee to Christ. Every knee what? Shall bow, every tongue shall confess Christ. He's Lord. This lie is now being remastered. Instead of fighting against me, it's fighting for me, because now it's saying what Christ says about the matter. Amen. Don't worry, I've got two more pages. Not going there. I capture that thought. I'm not going to say who said hallelujah. Who said hallelujah? No, I'm messing with you. God is setting the stage. He knows what's around the bend. He knows what's coming. Not caught by surprise. He knows that we do not know. So he is preparing us today for what's around the bend. He says, in the time remaining. Got it now? In the time remaining, take up this armor and don't take it off. Put it on, sink into it. Sink into all of this that I've given you. Because I've already made you conquerors. I've already given you the victory. And the victory that you have is mine. And I give it to you. So is it important for us to know the warfare? Is it important for us to know the details of how this is supposed to be done? Extremely important. Stand to your feet. This is where I give my last 10 minutes. Just kidding. I don't need any more hallelujahs. Father, we do thank you for your word, the richness of your word, the provision of what you've given us. Now we just surrender to. Is anyone here in the sound of my voice? You do not know Jesus as your Savior. And you're willing today to step out and say, I'm ready to accept Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Any of that. You're welcome. We welcome everybody. If you're not born again, amen. Hallelujah. Come on down. Hallelujah. How are you? Is it Jeremy?
Jamie.
I got the J right. Hallelujah. Yeah. That is great. This is his day. It's created for him. It's created for him. Well, Lord, I thank you for the willingness that he has today And I thank you for the provision that you have made for him to come to know you. Lord, I know he's going through struggles just like other people. But you're the one who has overcome every struggle. We love you. We thank you. Lord, we just ask that all of us today, we hear the word and we become not just a hearer of what we heard. Would you join me today and say, make me a doer of your word. Make me a doer of your word and not a hearer only. I want to be a doer. I want to do what you said. I want to be able to do this thing of warfare the way you said do it and not out of my own plans. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everyone that is here. We ask your blessings to be upon them, upon their household. And Lord, may their lives be lived in the reality of who you are, and may others that they come in contact see the reality of Jesus in them and be awakened to who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.